So wait, someone's baby found an unattended Switch.
I'm not saying people are dumb. So no, let's assume that
this is a thing where I want to do a bin there because I heard about this.
Oh, okay. I want to do a bin there. Okay, I see what you're saying.
When the first person was sitting there, was just holding the little mini SD card thing, looking back and forth, like, oh,
like,
this tastes bad, and then goes to Reddit, right?
Your wife?
My SO.
Oh.
So.
Hey everybody.
That was Japanese.
I am Kyle Parker Hagen.
I am Kendrick. I'm not gonna give you my middle name.
What ever. The actual fuck? It was supposed to be a bit, like you fucked it up.
But I don't trust people. Why? Middle names have power, man.
Do they?
Yeah.
But I just didn't tell you my fourth name.
Well, yeah, which one?
I can't tell you that. That's what you're fucking talking about.
Damn it. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Gotcha, bitch.
Gotcha. This is Kendrick Marcus Evans, so.
This is Kyle Janine Hagen.
Come on, Marcus is at least an okay name.
Marcus Munitions.
Exactly. Or Marcus Phoenix from Gears of War.
I don't know what that means.
Gears of War is a video game created by people.
No, I don't think that's true.
I think it is. Well, this is off to a fantastic start.
I think the Gears of War are like a more metaphorical thing, you know?
Like, it's not... It's like a state of mind.
It's an allusion to the sort of, you know, the
machine
grinding,
of war.
Yeah, the war machine, if you would. But not like the Iron Man one, you know?
Yeah, sure. Oh, I get you. So, like, Iron Man War Machine.
It was it was big and long.
Bit.
It was a long run. And I feel like there's like a Black Sabbath joke somewhere in there.
Iron Man. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Gears of War, Iron Man.
Killing
War
a bat
Machine.
By biting its head off. No,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I missed it. I missed the whole
war
thing.
War Pigs.
There.
There's like the War Pig. Yeah. See, like, it's.
And how much we like bacon. Am I hitting on it?
And there's like a Pink Floyd thing in there, too.
Oh, my God.
You going, buddy? Because it's your turn, and if you don't fucking go, then you don't deserve to live. And I will be the one to exact the punishment upon you.
Great vengeance upon you and your family.
Yeah.
I'll find them with your driver's license. You're gonna start being like the.
After I kill him, I'll take his driver's license.
The road rage killer.
Him. I'll go to his family and I'll burn it down.
What do you think the best, reasons for being a serial killer are? Like, if you had to pick, like, a theme for yourself as a serial killer, what would it be?
I mean, like, it would have to be something, like, off the wall, I think. Like, if you have, like, a reason, then they'll catch you immediately,
but, like,
right?
Well, because every serial killer has, like, a theme. This isn't about efficiency. This is more about, like, if you just, like, snapped. Or if you were like, oh, man, I want to kill people because of this. Like, I'm going to kill people and arrange their bodies like my favorite G.I. Joes.
100%. Automotive incidents. Absolutely. That's going
to
be the thing. Like,
so, like, this goes back to the thing we talked about. I'm glad you're consistent, because... If car repairs were cheaper, Kendrick would be a murderer, mass murderer.
Yeah. Not even like fucking around a little bit, tiddlywink murder. I mean straight up fucking mass murderer. I mean murdering mass.
It's like he's going to play Burnout on the real road.
Yeah.
For those of you who didn't know, for, you know, the sake of references, Burnout is a game where you try to crash as hard as you can, and then, you know, you get points based off of how badly you fucked everything up around you.
Yep. But yeah, it basically be running around just stabbing people in the neck with like the turning signal pylon.
Oh wow, you mean like physically taking pieces of cars and murdering people?
Well, as appropriate, right? You know, like
would your car be like a Mad Max car where like
no,
there's
no,
like
my
a bunch of weapons
would be completely
hidden?
Normal.
No, I mean like that's what I mean though, like in the Mad Max sense that
well,
there's
like
the,
a James Bond.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just remember like they had like the knife and the like the
there's,
gear
like,
shifter
everywhere, and
like all that stuff.
Maybe, but probably nothing that would be easy to leak back to me. More like follow someone home. Break into their car,
take
break
their
the
license
shifter
plate.
Out,
oh, okay, yeah,
and stab them in the neck with the shifter because they didn't use their turn signal.
I feel like we just came up with a really cool movie, like because I would love to see a scene where someone throws a license plate into someone's throat, like from across the room when they think they're escaping,
or like cut someone's brakes so that they die because they didn't brake properly.
I mean, that sounds like, yeah, okay,
you know, like,
oh, you're coming back to like, you know, killing people with like the little things that piss you off about driving.
Oh yeah, no, if I were to go there, it'd be
like someone
awesome,
who doesn't use
it would
their
be
blinker,
like meticulous.
So. Where they normally put their hand on the steering wheel, it just, like, electrically shocks them or
something. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we're talking some, like, Saw-level fucked up shit, if possible.
Okay. Oh, man, that sounds interesting, too.
For.
Like, you just jury-rig their car so it becomes, like, its own Saw experience?
Yeah.
It's, like, speed mixed with Saw.
Only just kills them, really. I don't care about that. I mean, torture parts.
You don't want to give them a chance for redemption?
I'm not on board the concept of hope. I'm on board the concept
of
suffering.
Oh, so you don't even want to be like, if you did use your blinker, you would have survived.
I want to say that.
And then,
like, when they try to use their blinker, it just kills them anyway. And you're like, yeah, you're an idiot. Yeah. You don't deserve it.
And it kills them, like, the worst way.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Kendrick, I feel like you have a lot of rage on today's episode.
I always have this.
There's some, like, inherent rage, though.
Yeah, it's just
you've
a general
said fuck
malaise.
At least three more times than usual in
it's
the first
It's just a general hate of automotive, you know, experience.
Yeah, it's almost like robotic cars would be a good idea. Like, ones that transform with us inside of them.
Everything up to that last part was gold.
What do you mean?
The part where they transform with us inside of them. I feel like that would be painful.
I know, this was a joke, because I said robot cars instead of automatic driving cars.
I'm fine with robot cars.
Robots, cars that trick your eyes.
Robots in a car. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I don't know why you had to struggle with it.
I mean, I just didn't seem right. Robot car didn't seem like the right thing. Do you want to buy a bus someday? A sit-sock bus?
I really do. Why would, what would we do with it? Guy just fucking...
Go
what?
On tour?
What?
Apparently, we're going to comment on traffic stuff that you guys can't see today.
Well, that guy just made a left turn on a red arrow.
If only we had a dash cam.
I know.
This would be a solved issue.
The problem is it doesn't stick to the crack part, right? And I can't get it to stick to either side anymore, so I,
I'm too juvenile not to laugh at that.
Okay.
Let's see if my phone can get up news topics so we can do some e-venting.
Otherwise, I'll have to go with my backup story.
What was it?
Well, it was a thought that I had. Like for a crazy,
well, go for it.
A crazy... short story that I was thinking about writing. But
okay,
I'd rather go for the eventing if we have eventing.
Why?
Because I'd rather make it topical but lagging by 3 weeks if possible. That's my favorite part.
Topical of what?
Topical but lagging by 3 weeks.
Okay,
that's my favorite part.
It's like a logarithmic effect.
My favorite part is to go through and tag stuff and be like, wow, that was relevant, huh? I forgot about that.
What the actual fuck are you doing?
I was watching an episode of Game Grumps, and I was noticing that the episodes where they actually have one or both of the editors that later go back and edit it, instead of saying future so-and-so, they'll just turn to the guy and say, hey, could you put that in? And they'll be like, no.
No. Syria fires missiles at Israel jets after an airstrike. No, that sounds boring.
That's boring in the topical sense, in the talky sense. Interesting in the oh god, oh god, we're all gonna die sense.
Or JCPenney's are closing.
Go back into the... Maybe we should just glass the middle... Like,
ooh,
the middle
failure
east.
Of MuleSoft's IPO as it pops 44%. That's interesting.
MuleSoft.
Oh, man. Maybe we should talk about... Okay, so this is something that we can probably go into another topic with. So I like it. So why... It's the name of the article is from The Verge. Is why Breath of the Wild is the future of blockbuster games and Horizon Zero Dawn is an ode to the past. So... For those not in the know, and since we've had a lot of references to video games already, we might as well just keep with the theme, right?
Sure.
Horizon Zero Dawn is a really crazy game about an individual, and this is very topical or high level because I'm not sure what it is, but it's an individual who's on a planet or something like this, and all of the creatures on the planet are robots, like they're robotic, right? And this, so there's like robotic dinosaurs and robotic like mammoths and robotic all this other stuff, and right?
Robotic robots?
There is no robotic robots because they're already robots.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know. Neither does robotic robots. So it's a really cool game because you're like, you know, you can like, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it sounds like a interesting game visually, but like it sounds kind of boring to play, but because you're just looking at robot versions of all the other games you've ever played.
Okay.
So, and then Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is the new Zelda game, which I don't know if it needs a lot of explanation, except for that it's...
nothing about it.
It's more like... A lot of people have called it Zelda Scrolls, because it's like Elder Scrolls-ish. It's like that big.
Oh.
And that expansive and...
Fuck.
That kind of freeform.
Okay.
So...
I thought there was a Skyrim Skyward Sword joke in there, but I'm not sure.
Well, you can go back and add it later.
Oh, well, I mean, I just don't know for sure if it's good.
Searching for dry land. So... I wonder what they're trying to say here. And what do you? So, I know you know nothing about either of these games, but...
I did not even know the new Zelda was out.
Yeah, it came out with the Switch. That was a big deal, is people are calling the Switch a $300 console to play Zelda. Because that's basically the only, like, crazy game that came out with a launch, is that.
Gasp, Nintendo didn't have great launch titles again. Let me put this in my newsworthy book, not...
Actually, a lot of consoles don't necessarily have the greatest launch titles, or the launch titles fail to be good. The thing I will say is about Zelda is that it's actually keeping people's interest for longer
That's good. I'm just saying, like, Nintendo always has shitty launch titles. Like, they don't have a lot of good launch titles. To launch with their solid IP. They always launch with their B-roll IP.
Really?
Like,
you think Zelda's a B-roll IP?
No, that's why this was unusual.
Oh, okay.
It's like for the GameCube, it came out with, like, Star Fox Adventures. And, like...
You're like, wait, what?
And then, like, Metroid Prime, but, like, it wasn't good. And then there was just a whole bunch of those games where it was like, these are like the weird knockoff versions of shit, guys. And then a cycle later, you get Super Mario Galaxy and Super Smash Brothers and like an actual Star Fox game, right? Like that's usually what happens. So the fact that there were any decent launch titles is great for Nintendo.
Yeah.
One is way better than none, which is what they normally have.
And so, briefly, what the article looks like it's talking about, again, we don't really read this stuff, but I wanted to get a good
reading is for squares.
Is that Horizon Zero Dawn is a kind of perfected version of the A to B quest system, where it's like, you are here, and you go here and do something, and that's kind of that.
Okay.
What Zelda Breath of the Wild offers is more of like a open world, like, do whatever you want, but this is a direction you could go type of thing, right? There is the A to B aspect in there, I guess, but you don't have to follow it, and you don't have to do that in your way. So, much like Skyrim and all these other kinds of games, and less like Assassin's Creed and the kind of, like, Drake Uncharted, like, those kind of games where you're going through something and you're kind of, for lack of a better word, being railroaded. I mean, I don't know if that's as true in the newer Assassin's Creed. I know there's some open world stuff, but that's not really, like, the point of content, or the point of contention is not that there's not, or there is an open world. It's how freely you can deviate from a main thing and still have
a lot of fun. On a scale from Contra to Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, that's like a good way to look at it. So, I wonder why, do you think that's the legitimate future of games, is to be able to just kind of do whatever you want and have the game react to you?
I think that it's in right now, but I don't know that I would say it's the future. I'm always hesitant to say something is the future of video games, because video games have taken a lot of weird zigs and zags over the years.
Isn't just because you're like a curmudgeon and you don't like things like to be for sure?
No, I love free roaming games, but I mean, like, the first one was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
15 years ago. Like, GTA was early on, Jack and Daxter,
and see, I think originally
those games have been around for a very long time.
Jack and Daxter was like free flow.
It was a huge world you roamed around in. Yeah, I mean, Spyro was the first sandbox version, right? Like the bathtub worlds.
But didn't
they just got bigger and bigger and bigger, right?
Did Spyro let you go do whatever you wanted to do?
You could travel between any of the defined worlds.
Okay.
And do whatever you wanted, and there were quests in each world.
So what happens if you didn't want to do the quest? Was there still enough content?
Well, there were side quests and things. I mean, okay. It was always some kind of goal-oriented thing, but sometimes it was jump over there and there's a thing up there. I mean, there was. But even then, Donkey Kong Country, Banjo-Kazooie, these are all games that there's a core quest, but there's shitloads of side things to do in the free-roaming thing.
Talking about, like, Arkham City and the regular stuff,
and,
right?
And I'm saying that, like, I don't recognize the quantum leap difference between Banjo-Kazooie and Skyrim. Like,
I think it's the fact
it's
that
scaled
things,
up.
Things happen in the game that don't care about you. And that's kind of an interesting thing. We're like, Shadows over Mordor or whatever, that like Lord of the Rings game that came out a while ago. Have you heard about that?
No.
Did you hear about that? So the idea was that you were like trying to stop these like giant orc armies, and like they had their own autonomy when you weren't doing stuff. So if you weren't actually attacking this group, they would grow stronger, or they would make decisions that might affect the world around you. And that kind of thing, like back to what we were talking about with D&D a while ago, is like a really important part of storytelling and immersion in that sense of, okay, if you don't do this, things will happen. And you have to make the decisions to say, okay, I care about this enough to go fix it or go stop it. And if I don't, other things are going to happen. So maybe that's what they mean, is that the future of gaming lies in autonomy of the world and less about like how you're not the focal point. Like you don't, you know, like in old RPGs and like Pokemon, if you don't talk to someone, you can't go further, right?
Right, right.
And so you're the one that's the catalyst of all things.
You're
right?
The one that's, the story's about you, and the other one's more of an immersive world.
Which is
kind of,
if that is the case, it's kind of weird, right?
I would find that unlikely if that is genuinely the driving factor in these things. It's a part you can identify, but I would imagine that what's manifesting is the immersive world that feels lived in, and like there's stuff happening.
Yeah.
And
you're still the catalyst, but there's things happening around
it's
you.
It's coincidental that the way you achieve that is by having shit happening around you.
Okay.
I don't think that indicates a trend in that direction so much as an insufficient aspect of the storytelling that was needed to be brought up to par. Because the visuals now in games are fucking stunning, right?
Yeah.
The controls are pretty well dialed in. You know, we've got games now like Witcher and even Dark Souls to some extent, where the controls are just solid, right? And you don't feel like you're floating around. You feel like you've got control, and your character is an avatar, an extension of you. We've got the customization aspects of games like Skyrim, and some of these are the ones where you can create an avatar that's exactly like yourself, or exactly as you wish to be portrayed in this world. we've got content now with all the writing and voice acting and the AAA titles that can achieve all these amazing levels of character development in these things. And we've got novel challenges and skill ramps that make sense. I think the piece that was missing is right now, I mean, music has always been a great part and a huge element and well done in these AAA titles. And the piece that was missing was some of the elements of immersion. It feels like this world is on pause and I'm not there, right? The old joke is the NPC sitting on the corner. Oh, shit, here comes the hero. Put your cigarette out and go back to standing. Like, that element was like one of the last bastions of something that needed to change before these games got to that next level of awesome.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it means that the trend is going there. I think it's just that that's brought up to par now.
No, that, but that...
I don't know what the next thing up to par is.
It's just semantics for me because, like, to me that's... It's like, yeah, the trend is to fix that aspect of gaming, I guess.
And I think they fixed it.
Yeah, they've done a good job so far because... They have things like Skyrim where people will do things without you there. And if you need to catch someone, they're integrating that whole, like, you know, Pokemon has night and day. Only certain things happen at night, certain things happen at day. They were doing that a long time ago. But the idea that you are there experiencing the world as opposed to you're there to live through
a set story.
You're
an actor in a world as opposed to the world.
Like with this Resident Evil game that just came out, you are in that game and you're experiencing a story. There's no other ways for you to go, right? So that's one way to make a video game, and they can still be really good. And it's not a matter of like good or bad. It's more of like it's another avenue for games to go down.
It's more
right?
of a curated experience and less of a go nuts.
Exactly.
Kind of
exactly. And this Breath of the Wild game, or I guess that's more like Horizon Zero Dawn. This Breath of the Wild game is more of like you're the actor and you can do the things that you want to do and experience the world the way you want to. And that kind of individuality with lack of individuality, you know, is kind of one of those things.
At the end of the day, you still have a grand quest, a mission in mind.
Yes,
right?
you always will. And I think that's part of a game.
Well,
I
would say so in Legend of Zelda, Wild Breath Man, breathy Wild.
Bearded Breath
Wild. Wild Breath. you have, I'm assuming, a main mission. And I'm assuming there's dungeons.
You do.
And I'm assuming... No, bear with me. If there's dungeons, because it can't be Zelda without dungeons. If it is, there'd be a lot more angry people on the internet, right?
Probably, yes.
There's a main mission, there's a main bad guy, and there's a goal to fight him and save the day. And there's... I'm not downplaying the fight.
Ganon is in
it
and all this stuff.
All those tropes are there, right? I'm assuming that there is not necessarily a linear... dungeon 1, dungeon 2, dungeon 3, dungeon 4, dungeon 5, etc. Like it was once upon a time?
No, there is still... It's still... They just abstract it more, right? Like, there is a general order for that main quest.
And you
quest.
May be able to go out of order in some of them, but there's an easier
it's
way
just
and
that,
a harder way.
That main quest is in the pie chart of all things you can do in the game, a similar segment to all the other things you can do.
Okay. Like, so, I would say that this is meant to... But this is a trend towards improving replayability and in making games
expanding
more immersive.
Lifetime, like,
and allowing cheap ways to add content that aren't offensive.
And that's an interesting point because I was just about to talk about how there's a season pass for the Zelda game. There's DLC coming out. Expandable content and things like
that. DLC is one of the things that I am very, very ambivalent about.
Oh, I mean, if you're thinking of Zelda the same... And let's just for... sake of this quick DLC argument, calling it Skyrim, there's lots of fun stuff you get added from the Skyrim mods or Fallout.
And I'm
right?
not saying that I'm not
ambivalent. I guess
ambivalent.
Misunderstand then.
So I mean, on the one hand, I love the concept of DLC breathing fresh life into a game that has already been won and already been finished, right? So like Borderlands 2 is a fine example. I didn't play a lot of Borderlands. I never played Borderlands 1 actually, but Borderlands 2 is a fine example to me of how DLC was done well. Several of it. But it also has in it an example of DLC done poorly. The biggest example for that was Bunkers and Badasses, the Tiny Tina DLC add-on.
You didn't like that?
No. That was the best DLC I've ever experienced in my entire life.
I think that the worst DLC for Borderlands, speaking of this, is that Arena 1 in the first one. So I know you didn't play this, but the Mad Moxie's Arena, because it didn't really offer anything you wanted Borderlands to do.
Precisely. That's where it's like, okay, guys, we rehashed this, fuck you.
One of the big ones from Skyrim was the house one. Hearthguard, where you just have a house. You can get married and have a house. And you're like, what? Like,
but what I'm saying is, the upsides of this is where, after Borderlands 2 is out, after you played it, and you think you're about done, they can be like, hey, come play a fucked up role-playing game thing, D&D style, with Tiny Tina. And I'm like, I'm so signed up, I can't even sign up harder. And it's a wonderful way to go back into the game, back into that world, and relive another few minutes of it, right? And it's great. I love that. But then the thing that bothers me is when you're like, hey, we're going to launch and we're going to have DLC. It's like, well, hold on. You're already planning your DLC calendar, and you're already scheduling what things you're going to met out to us over the next however many years. It feels like that whole complaint of, you know, selling us a half-done game and then selling us the finishing part of the game.
I can see that as a criticism of some games using DLC.
And that's where I get frustrated by the overuse of DLC. But at the same time, I'm not anti-DLC.
I like the idea of a season pass to me, because it means that you're going to continue developing your game, which means you're keeping working on it. And I like the idea of expansions for board games, too. So when I think of a board game and you think about developing for a Kickstarter, part of that is we have way too much, right? Let's split this off into second ones so we can develop the core now, figure out what we need, and then develop expansions.
As long as that's actually how it's going down,
right? Yeah, I agree.
Because with video games, it's so easy to rush out a half-done game.
Oh, yeah.
And have the DLC fix it.
I mean, you're talking video games, board games, it doesn't matter. You can do this in any of the systems that use this model where you have something that's a core and you have expansions. That's not meant to be a model that's a placeholder for, oh yeah, we'll develop the rest of it later, but people use it that way a lot.
It's used that way, and that's the part that bothers me. So that's why I'm kind of on the fence.
I mean, especially on Kickstarter. Like,
oh yeah.
That happens a lot, where it's like, oh yeah, you'll get, like, we're going to do 3 expansions and blah, 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 and you're like, okay, like, let's just finish this core game first.
Yeah, make a game that works.
And then we can talk about how much money you got from the Kickstarter you're going to use for expansions. Like,
yeah. So that's pretty much where I come from as far as my frustration with the DLC thing, which is why I usually sigh when I'm like, it's already got a season pass. Like, game's not, it's just out.
I think it's interesting that Nintendo is adopting a season pass model. So Nintendo's, again, we talked about Nintendo a few weeks ago, and they keep doing this stuff where it's like, man, I wonder how Nintendo does in X market, like the mobile market. Right. I think Fire Emblem Heroes and the like of games they're developing are great. Like, they put their foot down, or they've put a footprint inside of that market that looks really promising.
So
Nintendo DLC model, like, maybe it'll be a little different.
I'm very curious to see how these games come out, how these new games come out. But I would suggest that, as far as the future of gaming, Legend of Zelda has always had those elements, and that it was a natural step. At first, I thought it was weird, and then I was just thinking about it, like, no, really, Legend of Zelda has always had free roaming, has always had side quests, has always had shit you can do, has always had the ability to get lost and forget what you're supposed to be doing.
It's just about the elevation you're talking about.
And it's just that
we're
talking about old school cartridges, and then newer school cartridges, and then old school discs, and, like, it took time for them to catch up. And I think that they weren't necessarily playing catch up so much as they just knew their limits. Because I think that the old Legend of Zelda, the original Legend of Zelda, still stands up in a lot of ways. It falls down on, obviously, the visuals.
I think if you want to pick a really one, Link to the Past. Like,
well,
that's
Link to the Past is another great example. There are so many things to do that aren't the main quest in that game, right?
And that's where they really branched out. Like, the first Zelda is great.
There are things you can do and not do to make the game easier for yourself, though. Mm-hmm. But again, it's mostly in service of achieving that goal.
The one thing that you need to do that is all, like, the whole pie chart.
But having said that, you can also go to several of the different dungeons in the wrong order.
Yeah.
And if you want to do that, go knock yourself out, right? So it's not... That was probably one of the first non-linear fucking games out there, as far as the first foray into non-linearity.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense to me that they would, of course, be playing that game now. And then going forward, Ocarina of Time. There's so much wandering around you can do, and all kinds of little things you can do on the side. Which, Wind Waker.
Makes me think, Wind Waker is one that I definitely compare to Arkham, like the Arkham games with the Riddler stuff, where, like, I didn't think it's more than that. Like, for me, the stuff you do in, like, Ocarina of Time is very much like what you do in Arkham, where you're, like, collecting clues and, like, kind of unlocking these small parts. But Wind Waker has, like, crazy shit. Like, if anything, comparing Wind Waker to the Breath of the Wild is probably fair, because Wind Waker is an extensive game. It's so long. It's hard as shit. And it's just, like, the first game people were like, oh, my God, I need to play this for, like, 200 hours to
complete. Which is funny, because a lot of people were still fussy about it.
Because it's hard.
Well, right? I mean, a lot of people thought it was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like...
Never be as bad as Phantom Hourglass for me.
I never played Phantom Hourglass.
It's like a one about a train. No, that's
Wind Waker was the last one I played with any degree of intensity. Since then, I simply have not been catching up.
They were doing pretty good parity with the mobile systems for a while. Like, they were like, release one for, like, Wii, release one for, like, specifically a different game for the DS or the Nintendo Advance.
I played a balls load of Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages.
Yep, for the Game Boy Color.
Yep. And then I think that was the last Game Boy one I played. Or no, what was the one with the four dudes?
The four dudes.
Were you four different colors you could play together?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I remember which one you're talking about.
That was probably the last one.
Which, that's like, kind of like a little bit of a clony of Link to the Past. It's like a very similar look.
It was very much like a remake of Link to the Past.
And we're like, but the puzzles were like, you had to play with four people because you needed to like have them
needed to like throw
stuff.
Each other over shit.
You played that a lot?
I played that a little.
Okay.
I did not play it with very many people, I don't think.
The one I was really liking, I mean, that I've played through twice now, is A Link Between Worlds, which is the 3DS one.
I've heard of that one.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's the same world as, it's a similar Hyrule to Link to the Past.
Yeah. Which, I don't ever blame them for going back there, because that really was one of the best worlds.
Sweet, yeah.
And if they just build more little shit off of that, I mean, it beats the hell out of the Legend of Zelda, the first Game Boy one. The Waking one. Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening.
That world was weird. It was fun, but it was weird and hard to go back to. Uh-huh. Whereas Link to the Past is such a wonderful world to be in. It's
That happened with Seasons and Ages, too. Yeah. Is that, like, they kind of made their own new world, and you were, like, you kind of had to get your bearing again.
Seasons and Ages, though, I consider those to be masterpieces of video game design.
Need to go back and play. I actually have them. I should go back and play them, because
The fact that they released, like, they looked at the Pokemon thing, and they're like, let's do this, too. Mm-hmm. Only they actually made the games different.
Yeah.
But subtly different. It was very smart. I liked it. And those games
that's a turn lane.
Yeah, it's all turn lanes.
And we're going straight through the turn lane.
Everything's turn lanes. Turn lanes for miles.
Turn lanes for miles. Funny that you mentioned the disc cartridge thing.
Yes.
Have you seen the cartridges for the Switch?
I have not.
They are about the size. They're smaller than an SD card.
It doesn't surprise me.
And it's just like this little teeny thing that's smaller than even like a DS
cartridge.
And they put Bitterant on it. So if you put it in your mouth as a little baby, it's like, oh, God, I need to get this out of my mouth, which was kind of a weird but appropriate thing, right?
I can see, I mean, I understand making that decision. I want to know why people are putting it in their mouth.
Well, they're worried that their children are going to do it. Like, if they own a Switch.
No. And I understand why they did it, but why are people putting things in their mouths?
Because they're babies.
So wait, someone's baby found an unattended Switch.
I'm not saying people are dumb, so no, let's assume that...
This is the thing where I wanted to have been there, because I heard about this.
Okay.
I
see what you're saying.
When the first person was sitting there, was just holding the little mini SD card thing and looking back and forth like, oh.
Like,
this tastes bad. And then goes to Reddit, right? Like,
They talked, I think Nintendo talked about it.
Oh, they did?
They were like, oh, yeah, we're doing this because of something. And or like something like that. I don't know. I'd have to follow up with Aaron, but I agree. I tried to taste Bomberman. It's funny to say, like, I tasted Bomberman, and it was gross. Like, but, yeah, so, like, the...
And I get the curiosity element of that, but what were you expecting it to taste like?
Well, I was wondering if it tasted like canned air, because I've accidentally sprayed canned air into my hand, and I licked my finger, and it was like, oh, and, like, time slowed down, and I had to go clean my mouth out, but it still didn't get it, because if that worked, then it would be too easy to just sniff stuff, and it was terrible. Don't ever put canned air in and around your face.
Don't huff things.
Yeah, just in general, especially if it has a bitterant in it. You're not going to get... The high you're going to get from huffing is going to be immediately counteracted by the fact that you feel like your mouth is...
If you're huffing paint, go get someone to buy you alcohol illegally. It's less damaging for you.
Yeah. I mean, or just do Whippets. Like the nitrogen in... we shouldn't advocate this. There's no kids that listen to our show. But
yeah, but I just saying. I mean, like... Alcohol does its number on you, but dear God, all this other shit's way worse.
You're in
for
Colorado,
you.
Most likely, if you're listening to this podcast. So just
get
go
some
buy some weed. Yeah.
I mean, you gotta be 21 for that, too. If you're under 21, life sucks.
Motorcycle cops are the thing today.
Yeah, they're out and about. It's nice out.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's why we have the air conditioning on, right?
Yep, because it's fucking hot out. that's basically where I'm coming from in that one, isn't it?
That was a pretty hefty eventing we did. I really think that they have something there. I'd like to play Horizon Zero Dawn before I judge it, but
is that a Switch game?
No, it's a PlayStation 4 game.
Who the fuck cares?
Who the fuck cares? That's what I wanted to talk about, too, is the Switch games that are coming out are pretty cool. Like,
I was watching some Game Grumps play them.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. What game? They were playing the 1-2 Switch.
Oh, cool. Did you get the full, they talk about how the Switch Joy-Cons are really sensitive at emulating motion? So
they talked a little bit about that. I got the impression that they were like super Wiimotes.
Yeah, they're like Wiimotes that have
like
been
Wiimotes
in like hyperbolic
people, like,
time
we listened
to
every
years.
We listened to every single complaint anyone ever had about a Wiimote, including the contradictory ones, and we just fixed all of it. And it's cheaper now for some reason.
I just like that they give you two every time you buy them, which is cool because you get two controllers for one. And so it's like, it costs like $50, I guess, but that's still the same price as one controller for any other system.
Yeah.
And they have that, like, the like little motion stuff. So the fine detail motion that they can emulate with the controllers. So I don't know if they played it, but the marble guessing game, like where you tilt the Wiimote to try to guess how, or the Joy-Con to try to guess how many marbles are in a box, that sealed box. And you can actually feel the marbles, like, click, 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 like, how many are hitting the sides of the box with the Joy-Con.
They didn't do that.
And
they did the lock-picking one.
Oh, I see. Aaron has it, and I should have just taken it, because I want to play it, but it's also one of those things where you don't really want to spend $50 on it, because it's, like, hard to justify.
Right. It sounded like it was sort of like a WarioWare micro mini game thing.
Oh, cool. That's actually fun. I really enjoyed
WarioWare. I enjoyed the hell out of that one, so.
The other thing is that somebody told me, and I can't remember if it was Aaron or someone else, that Nintendo patented a VR headset for the Switch. Because the way it works is, you know, the controllers pop right off.
Yeah.
They got motion sensing, accelerometers, everything, again, the Wiimotes,
yeah,
with everything that you would ever want. So, unlike the PlayStation VR, where you have to hook up all the shit, like, you can use the Move controllers and right, all that stuff. You slide the Switch into this headset after you pop off the Joy-Cons, and now you have a VR experience that you can, like, hook up to the, like,
and all you gotta do is buy the helmet.
The cradle, yeah. And so it's just like, I see where they might be going with this, because everyone's like, Switch, what the fuck is this? Like, it's just a portable console.
Yeah, what the fuck is this? And it's probably already outsold everything everywhere, right? That's usually how the shit goes. Everyone's like, Nintendo is dumb and has gimmicks. Nintendo was outsold.
But I bought 4 Switches, and now I'm like, you know, I'm not going to sell. I'm going to resell.
I really don't like these 4 Switches that I bought. They're too gimmicky. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool and all, but, like,
you didn't. So, and I think they said they were opening up game development, or they were doing something where they were making it easier for third-party people to develop or something. That'd be nice.
It's been hard for Nintendo over the years.
And it's really interesting, because we have yet to see if that will enable people to develop with these really cool new things they have, with these very specific Joy-Con armaments, the VR, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So here's the part that's interesting to me from the business standpoint: is what generation console is this now?
For them, or for like where does it fit within, like, the,
where does this go up against? Because the Wii U was their answer to the PS4 and the Xbox, right?
The Wii U was their answer to, I thought, the PS. I guess the PS. The 360 and the 3.
I don't think that's true, because the 360 U? and the
or yeah, the Wii. The Wii. Wii U is like, has really good graphics. Like,
right, but I mean, the Wii was the response to the 360 and PlayStation 3. Right?
Oh, so you're saying the Xbox. Oh, Xbone. Okay, I get it now.
The Xbox One.
Yeah.
Which is not the first Xbox.
I don't know. I think a lot of people were commenting on the fact that, you know, like, the Xbox One. Or the Wii didn't have, like, the graphical capabilities,
right,
blah, blah, blah,
but,
blah.
What got me was the Wii U dropped, and one of the things that really hurt them was that the other systems weren't out yet, and a lot of people were hedging their bets because they weren't sure which they wanted to buy.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the exact same thing again, but it sounds like it's not hurting them this time.
And they definitely, I guess, in that sense, they choose to release systems, like, outside of the normal, like,
yeah, it
kind of
sounds like a thumb in the nose of the whole.
I don't think they give a shit, to be honest.
I think you're probably right. Here's the thing, is the Wii U was, like, a failure, but I think they still made money on it.
Nintendo's had so much success with their mobile consoles, too, that they've outpaced and outdone,
care, right?
Like, all the other... Like, you had a PlayStation Vita doing remote play, and people are like, nah, I'll just take a DS. And you're like, well, are you sure? Like, we can...
You can play the games from here.
You're like, I can play Smash Brothers on my DS with 5 other people that are playing on a Wii U, so I'm good.
I'm good.
And now that you have, like, this idea of, like, a console that slips into a little fucking cradle, and you can take it wherever you want. It's like, I don't know. It's an interesting niche that they put themselves in, because they're like, we don't necessarily need the best graphics to compete in the marketplace we're in.
It's a distressingly true thing where you have to realize, like, people put a lot of time and effort into the very, very pretty graphics that were pretty for 45 minutes before something better came out of the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, all those things. And Nintendo's like, that's going to look kind of like muddy butt.
And you can actually see it.
But you're going to keep playing it.
If you look at Zelda, like, you can tell that the graphics are kind of toned down. Like, just because they want to have that seamless play between 1080p on your TV and your freaking, like, when you have it mobile, right?
Yeah.
And I guess I'm not saying that it's like it looks bad, because the fucking dynamic shadow stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I thought I was getting attacked by something the other day because a tree shadow came by, and I was like, oh my god, like, that was really cool. Because you're not used to it if you don't play a lot of games with dynamic shadows or like lighting or anything.
Which a lot of consoles just now are getting.
Yeah, and so that was kind of cool because you get that no matter where you're playing, but it just looks old, like it's 1080p on your when you have it in the cradle. Like it's got a thing that does that, and when you take it out, it's 720, I think.
Yeah.
But that's still really good for like a little handheld TV.
It must be just down here, hopefully, just for the screen.
What?
Well, I mean, like, it's probably, I don't know, I have no idea how it's working. I mean, at this point, Nintendo's technology is magic. I have no fucking idea how they do anything. Like, I've still, for the Wii U, they developed and patented a proprietary wireless video transmission protocol.
Yeah.
So that they could have the screen on the handheld thing. So, I have no idea what fucking dark magic they have, because that protocol was like above and beyond anything anyone else has ever had before.
I was gonna say that too. It's like, because this isn't the first time we've seen a removable screen. Like,
right.
A lot of the games for the Wii U, you can play on that controller.
Right.
Like, they
figured that out. Yeah.
They're just now running that from its single console instead of having a console and a controller.
Someone just asked us, like, guys, the Wii U is pretty small, and we had to do all this extra processing to make shit work in the controller. Why don't we just put it in there? And they're like,
Can we make three times as skinny?
Yeah, it turns out all the components we wanted that we've been buying for the last 3 years, they're all cheaper and smaller now.
I think we could keep talking about Nintendo forever, but we're right at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We were raving about Nintendo today, and we talked about some other stuff and eventing. So, you know, sometimes eventing lasts forever, and sometimes Kendrick doesn't want to tell a story. I hope you remember it, because I'd like to talk about
we'll
it
see.
Last time.
It doesn't matter who. It
doesn't matter. Well, right. Clone Bone.
I guess I'll turn it off.
No, don't.
Just leave it on.
Just leave it on.
Well, then how will I know when to stop it?